Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
While you're turning in your Bibles to the 103rd Psalm, here's another testimony for you. This came in this week. Praise God for changing our address. We had challenges that threatened to derail us, but I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to keep going anyway. We had money show up from unlikely sources and solutions for every problem. The tide turned when the mighty living way, I like that, the mighty living way prayed for us. We ended up closing on our house on my birthday, and we are living in the best place we have ever had and better than we have ever could imagine. Praise God. Somebody say amen. I love testimonies like that. I heard that testimony at Fall Fest. I said, you got to write that down so I can share it with our family. And we shared it tonight. And maybe you are in that waiting season before you step into the best or the greatest. And like he said, just keep going anyway, no matter what happens. Praise God. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. With my whole heart. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done for me. Quick 10-second, everybody just think about all that God has done for you, as many things as you can think about. Man, he woke us up this morning. He's woken me up every morning for 41 years. He has blessed me. He has healed me. He has delivered me. He has saved me. He forgives all my sins, verse 3 says, and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed. And all the experienced, mature people say amen. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Now somebody else, actually everybody in the room, 20-second praise break right where you're standing. Hallelujah. God, there's no one like you, God. You showed up exactly when I needed you to show up, God. Lord, you put the enemy on notice, God. You resurrected, God. God, you restored, God, you reconciled, God, you are a good God all the time. Praise God. Now turn to your neighbor and tell him it's all Jesus. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. That already was better than last week's praise break. I told you we're going to do those, and they're going to get better and better as we go. When we talk about gratitude, and man, I love one of my favorite songs we sang tonight, gratitude. Just talking about the words that we can give God are not enough when I think about his goodness. I don't even remember that song. When I think about the goodness of what he's done for me, I'll dance, 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 dance. Remember that? We had all the motions, man. You talk about, it was a workout doing that song. I'd spin, I'd shout, I'd clap, I'd wave, I'd jump. But when we've exhausted our words, like gratitude says, there's nothing we can say to adequately praise God for what he's done in our lives. So this is why I think David said 7 times a day, do I praise him? Because if I can't use enough words, if I can't articulate how I feel about my God and what he's done in my life, if I cannot articulate it in a moment, how about I just spend my life praising God? If 25 minutes is not enough praise and worship on a Wednesday night, then when I get home, I'll praise him a little more. When I wake up tomorrow morning, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to set the tone for my weekend on Friday by praising God. And so David taps into the fact of 7 times a day. Every 3.5 hours, I'm going to praise God. So when we talk about gratitude and what a life full of thanks really can do. We're 8 days away from a holiday that is literally called Thanksgiving or giving thanks. And I want to encourage you on that day to slow down enough to thank God for all that he's done. But I also want to encourage you the Thursday after that Thursday and every day to spend some time in your day not praying for things you want, but praising for things that God has already done. Praising maybe for things that he has not yet done, but he has promised to do, because that's when praise and faith come into contact together. And so last session we talked about what is gratitude, synonymous words that we can find that are found with gratitude, words like thanksgiving, words like gratefulness and appreciation. See, when you clap your hands, it's not just a rhythmic beat that you are using your hands to make. It is literally fulfilling scripture and command where the Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people. When you shout, it is not just lifting your voice so that the enemy and all the world can. The Bible says, shout, amen, with a voice of praise, with a voice of thanksgiving. So it is appreciation to God. When we praise God and when we live a life of gratitude, we are acknowledging that every good thing that happens in my life, it is because of God. Every great thing that happens in me, through me, and around me, I give God praise for. Not only do we acknowledge God, but we give him honor and recognition. We are quick to point that it is God that did that in my life. When any time when someone wants to brag on you, it is a great place for you to testify of the goodness of God. When somebody tells you that you have maybe climbed the corporate ladder and you're finally at the place that you've worked so hard for, it is very easy to pat ourselves on the back and talk about all the late nights and studying, but it would be selfish of us to not say, it was God that woke me up, it was God that gave me the intellect, it was God that opened the door, it was God's spirit that kept pushing me when I wanted to quit. And so I honor him by giving him acknowledgement and recognition. And then, of course, the word that we've used quite frequently for a synonym of gratitude is praise. The Greek word is epanos. It means to commend. It means to give credit. It means to celebrate. It means to glorify. It means to laud, which is where we get our word applaud. It means to extol, which is to praise highly. It means to plaudit, which is an enthusiastic expression of approval. That is why when the Bible says, let everything that has breath give praise unto the Lord, I look at dead, dry churches, and I cannot understand how you can say that you are praising God, but your mouth is closed, and your lips are closed, and your hands are in your pockets, and you're watching somebody else do something. That's why I love Living Way. We are an expressive church. You hear people talk to God. You hear people in worship crying out to him. You hear people shouting Jesus and hallelujah. Why? Because we are given an enthusiastic. We are applauding Jesus. We are giving him credit. We are celebrating what God has done in our life. Thank you, Jesus, should become a phrase that you use all the time. The more you use it, it does not dumb it down. It does not dilute it. The more you use it, when your heart matches your mouth, it says something about your faith, that it is not a Sunday expression. It is not a Wednesday illustration, but it is an everyday, when I'm awake, I'm going to give God praise. So that's what gratitude is. But let's jump into position versus posture. Praise is far more important than your physical or your geographical location. Praise is not the location or the position of your body. It is the posture of your heart. Anytime that we praise God in this house, we are now setting the bar for how we are going to praise him outside of this house. That is why if you are going to give God great big praise in here, you better be ready to give him great big praise out there. You can't jump and shout here and then grow eerily quiet out there. Because God's going to ask you, why is it that you only praise me like that in my house, but you don't praise me like that in your house? Why is it that you love to shout about streets of gold, but you don't talk about me on the streets of pavement in San Antonio or Cibolo or Schertz or New Braunfels? This is what Jesus would say, Matthew 15, verse 8. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. That's a strong statement. Their teachings are merely human rule. I have been of course, involved in a church-like Living Way all of my life. We're an expressive church. We are a loud church. We are a church that is a New Testament church, expression. We lift our hands. We clap our hands. We run the aisles. We dance. We jump up and down. We do all of those things as an expression of our praise. However, Jesus warns people here, and he says, you can do all of that, and it still not be considered worship. You can do all of that, and it still not be considered gratitude. He said, they're worshiping me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. He said, their worship is vain because the teachings that they are following are human and man-made. And I said that to say this. I've counted the last 20 years, I've counted it a pleasure to train up another generation of worshipers. And not just my kids, but your kids and your grandkids. I love to see young people praise God. Why? I love seeing young people and I love seeing men praise God because they're the two hardest hearts. You ladies, you've been worshiping and leading us in praise for generations. But when God gets, amen, that's a good place to say amen, ladies. When God gets a hold of a man's heart and a real man can walk down this aisle and lift both hands, or a real man can lift hands on the fourth or fifth row when his kids are standing next to him, when a real man doesn't mind a tear rolling down his cheek when he thinks about how far God has brought him and what God has done in his life, it is an amazing thing. But then when you've got kids who care about everything, what people think of them, what they look like, how they're dressed, all of that, and when you can get a kid to jump up and down for a God that they've never seen before, they've only heard before and felt him, when you can get a kid to kneel down on their knees and say, God, I love you. It doesn't matter who hears and who's watching. God, I love you, I serve you, I need you, I praise you, I worship you. It is an amazing thing. But I also know that, and I've told even Tyler and Jaden recently, I said, we've got a lot of new people coming to Living Way, and they've never worshiped God and praised God like we do here. And so I said, it's just as important to teach people how to worship and why they're worshiping as it is leading them in worship. So please don't get this twisted. When someone says, I want everybody in the house to raise their hands, don't say, well, my heart's not in it, and I really shouldn't have that expression if my heart's not there. If you're thinking that, get your heart there. So when somebody tells me, I've been in those services, every hand raised, I raise both hands. And if my mind was thinking about Chick-fil-A or my mind was thinking about the Cowboys, I automatically align my mind. I captivate those thoughts and say, listen, I'm not going to put a hand in the air until my heart is aligned with my hand. And God, now I'm focused. Now I'm worshiping you, God. I honor your presence with how I'm posturing in your presence. You can lift a hand in his presence and it can still not be prayed. You can kneel a knee in an altar in his presence and it still not be worshiped. He said they only do it because they've been taught to do it. We don't want to train robotic worshipers and praisers. What we want to do is tell you why the Word of God says to clap your hands, why the Word of God says to lift your hands, why the Word of God says some people jump, some people dance, some people played an instrument. We want to tell you what that does to God and you while you praise and while you worship. John chapter 4, verse 21, talking about position versus posture. The woman at the well said unto Jesus, she said in verse 20, she said, my ancestors have worshipped on this mountain and in Jerusalem for many years. This was Jesus' response in verse 21. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father not on this mountain or in Jerusalem. What is he saying? You put way too much emphasis on the place of praise, not the heart of praise. Remember this. The first thing she wanted to talk about was race. And Jesus said, rather than have a discussion about race, let's talk about worship. Why? Because race is a heart issue. Racism is a heart issue. And her thing was, God, why are you, or Jesus, why are you a Jew talking to me, a Samaritan? We're not supposed to like one another or talk to one another. And he said, let's not talk about racism and race. Let's talk about worship, because if I can get your heart right, racism will just leave, praise God. That's why you can't legislate love. It's got to be a changing of the heart. He said, you have been too concerned with the place you're worshiping. He said, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. He said, the Samaritans were too caught up in where they worship, not who they worship. See, if the first time you've worshiped God this week since Sunday is tonight, you have relegated God to 13285 Interstate 35 North Living Way Church. But I am here to tell you, you don't spend very much time in this building, but where you do spend a lot of time is at your house, at your job, at your school, on the streets of San Antonio. And so God said, I don't need your praise on a Sunday and a Wednesday only. It's not about a place. It's about a posture. It's about a person. He said, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and now has come, when true worshipers will worship in the Spirit and in truth. They'll worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is looking for worshipers with the posture of worship and the heart of worship, and not just the hand of worship, not just the Sunday place or Wednesday place of worship. And then he goes on further in verse 24, for God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. This is that time that Jesus prophesied about. I am so glad that Jesus is in heaven today at the right hand of the Father. You say, why are you glad about that? Because if he was alive today for us to worship him, it couldn't happen in here on a Sunday morning. We would all have to load up in a Boeing 747 jet. We'd have to fly to Jerusalem. We'd have to spend all that money, take time off of work, and we would have to go to where Jesus physically was to praise and worship him in that place. But I'm so glad that God's Spirit is in this room today, because now, 2022, we don't have to go to a specific place to worship. We can worship wherever we want to worship. We can praise wherever we want to praise. We can offer gratitude wherever we want to offer gratitude. I am here to encourage you. It's not a Jerusalem praise. It's not a Living Way praise. It can be a Tuesday praise. It can be a Chick-fil-A praise. It can be wherever you're at. It can be break room praise. It can be four truck pray. Wherever you are, you can praise him. Four trucks, you praise him. Dodge trucks, you pray that your truck makes it to wherever you're going. Just had to throw that out there. I praise God anywhere. I'm so glad that I can praise him anywhere, that I don't have to go to him. He comes to me. That you don't have to go to him. He comes to you, praise God. Heart posture is the most important, because it allows us to praise God and operate in the spirit of gratitude anywhere at any time. Our best praise and worship should not be relegated to a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. Psalm 22, verse 3. Some of us, we've never read Psalm 22 because we always go to Psalm 23. But here in the preceding psalm, this is what verse 3 says. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. David said, holy are you, God, because when Israel praises, you show up. What I found alarming is when I did a deep dive on the word inhabit, about 50% of Bible history teachers, professors, and philosophers say that that is not what David meant. How can you, in 2022, tell me what David meant to say compared to what he did say? I'm sorry. I'm going to go with the word of God and what has been said, not what you think 2,000 years later, or in this case, 4,000 or 5,000 years later, when the Bible says that the Holy God inhabits the praises of Israel, that's exactly what it means. I've got good news for you. Some newer believers in the house today that you're saying, oh man, I'm not a part of Israel. Oh yes, you are. When Jesus died on the cross, he grafted all of us in so that now we are spiritual Jews, which means this, that the Holy God of the Old Testament and the Spirit of God in the New Testament, when you and I live a life of gratitude, God shows up in that moment. Wherever you praise him, that's where he's going to be. Check this out. Some people have said to me, I just wish that I could have those Living Way praise teams follow me around during the week because what I feel in that room is so good. Don't say things like that. Because what you're really doing is you're riding on the coattails of other worshipers. And you get to be in God's presence, not because of your gratitude, but because of our gratitude. But I've come to encourage you tonight that you can open up your mouth tomorrow and you can feel the same spirit that we felt in this place singing, I raise a hallelujah, that in the doctor's office, you can feel the same spirit that we feel here on Sunday mornings and flood and infiltrate wherever you are. I'm here to tell you, God still inhabits the praises of his people. That's you and me. So I did a deep dive on that word inhabit. The word inhabit in the Hebrew comes from the word yeshav, which means many things related to the word dwelling. When we look at inhabitist in the King James Version, we automatically pull out that word inhabit. You and I inhabit a house, a home, an apartment, a duplex. So we know that it means something to do with dwelling. But when you deep dive, there is six things that yeshav means. So that when you praise God, God does these six things. Number one, yeshav means sits down. It means sitting. For years, and I love when God makes all of these things work. For years, I have heard Bishop preach Psalm 22, verse 3, that God inhabits the praises of his people. And if you've ever heard him quote that scripture, he always follows it up with, there's a Chinese translation that when the Chinese have translated this phrase, they say that God gets a chair when the praise of his people goes up, and he gets a chair and sets it right down in the middle of the praisers, and he takes a seat. I am here to tell you, every time you praise God, whether it's with a few hundred people on a Wednesday night or it's all by yourself in your secret place of thunder, the God of the universe, with everything going on with Russia and Ukraine, with everything going on in the nation, with everything going on around the world, the moment you and I start giving God gratitude and praise and thanksgiving, he takes a chair out of heaven, puts it right down in the middle of our praise, and sits down. I don't know about you, but I want God involved in every aspect of my life. So if I want God to sit down in my life, I'm going to praise him. If I want him to stay seated in my life, I'm going to keep praising him. And could I encourage somebody that's newer here tonight that you feel God so strongly in this place on Wednesday night? Keep praising him on the way home. Wake up with gratitude, thanking Jesus for what he's done. And what happens in this place is not going to lift off of your life. Why? Because it can't lift if God is sitting in your praise. Yeshav, number two, it also means remaining. So when we say, but thou art holy, O God, for you remain in the praises of Israel. Perpetual praise leads to God's perpetual presence. Perpetual gratitude means that God will remain in the middle of your life. That means you don't have to face any day by yourself. You will never face a Goliath by yourself as long as you have a life of praise and offer gratitude. Once Thanksgiving turkey has been completely digested, he's still going to be sitting in my praise. He's still going to be remaining in my life. Why? Because it's not a Thursday in November. It is a lifestyle. Turn to your neighbor and tell him he's still here. Praise God, he's still here. Number three, Yeshav means that God stays. Stay. Every time that I've ever preached Psalm 22, verse 3, I share this illustration from a show that I've watched just a couple times called My 600-Pound Life. Anybody ever watch that show? Anybody binge watch that show? There's a lot of things going up. That's kind of weird, okay. You do you, boo, okay. But I watched this show of a 600-pound man. And he was talking about how he likes to stay at home because his furniture has been reinforced. And he only feels comfortable in a place that he knows he can sit down without breaking furniture. So when he goes to a friend's house, to a party, to a Friendsgiving, to a Christmas party, the first thing he does is he goes and he shakes everyone's hand that's in the room at the party, and he has a conversation with them because he doesn't know if he's going to be able to stay. The second thing he does is he starts looking at the furniture. He starts looking for pieces of furniture that he believes can hold him up. If he finds a piece of furniture that can hold him up, he stays. If he does not find something that he feels can carry the weight of all that he is, he leaves. So when we talk about Yeshav, God staying and staying in the praises of Israel, I have no question that 45 minutes ago that God stepped into this room. I believe that he has smiled in each one of our faces. I believe he has embraced us. I believe he shook our hands. I believe he whispered in our ear. But after the first 5 minutes he was in the room, you know what he started looking for? Is there anybody that can carry my weight? Is there anybody that can hold my glory? Is there anybody that when I bring all that I am into their presence, when I bring all of my presence into, can they hold on to who I am? And if not, that's why some of us feel so good at church, because we're seeing God face to face. But others of us, we leave carrying his glory. Last week, a week ago tonight, after this building was mostly empty, there was still a dear sister kneeling on her face before God on this altar for a good 20 minutes after everyone left. There was two or three young ladies that this was their first worship experience like that I can tell, and they just lingered in his presence. And Pastor Becky and I sat right over here until everybody was gone just because we could feel what God was doing. I want to tell you, Living Way is a strong enough place for God to settle down onto. But my question is not Living Way strong enough? Is your praise built in such a way? Are you strong enough that when you leave this presence, you don't leave the presence and leave empty? You leave carrying the weight of his glory. 9 out of 10 times when I leave this platform, Sunday or Wednesday, I go straight to my office and I lay on the floor for about 20 minutes. If my father-in-law's here, he gives me a chiropractic adjustment. But I feel so physically fatigued. But it's amazing how spiritually strong I feel while being physically empty. Can I encourage somebody tonight? When you worship and praise God and live that life of gratitude, it doesn't mean everything's easy. It makes things possible. It doesn't mean that you're going to walk without having to encounter valleys and storms. What it means is the presence of God that we stepped into, or that stepped into what we were doing on Wednesday night, we now carry it with us. And now instead of freaking out in the middle of the hurricane, I just look over my shoulder. We got this, guy. God said, we got this. We're going to the other side. And then I just praise my way in the storm. Yeshua, he stays in the praises of his people. Don't let this team trick you into thinking you're carrying the presence. Don't let your favorite artist that you stream their music, don't think that just because they carry it, you're carrying it. No, God is looking. Are you strong enough to carry his spirit? It takes praising at all times. Number four, Yeshav means to set in one place. What does that mean? All of who God is shows up at one time in one place. One praise from one believer, and all of God shows up in one place at one time. There is no Jesus light. God doesn't say, Brandon's praising, let's send 3% out to Brandon today. He says, Brandon's praising, all of who I am at one place is going to show up. And that's when miracles happen. That's when the weight of the Spirit becomes so heavy that you've got to kneel down. That's when the weight of what God's doing and who he is becomes so heavy. I remember youth services 10 years ago where the weight of God was so heavy that we had young people that it looked like they were drunk. We were carrying them to their cars because they were so, I'm talking about inebriated in a good way with the presence of God, carrying him home. Man, I just need God to show up. You're one praise away. Gratitude, praise gets him here, but continual praise keeps him here. All of God in one place. Two more. It means an abode. Yeshav means an abode, but thou art holy, O God, for you have built a house in the praises of Israel. A place of residence. A place for God to dwell. Christmas time, we always seem to start hearing sermons and preaching sermons about no room at the inn, and we take the innkeeper to task. My God, he turned away Jesus, yet some of us do that every day. When God's saying, we're going to praise and worship today, we're going to spend some time together. Well, I'm too busy doing this. I've got this going on. But Sunday, I'll see you there Sunday, God. I'll see you there Wednesday, God. And God's like, no. I want to set up a residence in your house. I want to live in your praise. I want to live in your worship. I want to live in your gratitude. I don't want you to have to go through this life on your own. That is why Jesus came to this earth. And in Luke 19, when they were taught, when the disciples were praising, and they said, shut them up, Jesus said, oh, they can't shut up, because if they shut up, he said, the stones will offer praise. Why? He said, I'm going to get my praise from somewhere because I need it to live. One more. Yeshav means to establish, establishing. But thou art holy, O God, for you have established or are establishing in the praises of Israel. Establishing is not establishing you, and it's not establishing me. It's God setting up shop in our life. It's God establishing. It's God saying, Brandon, I'm glad that you finally have flipped that switch of gratitude, because I've been wanting to set up in your life. I've been wanting to use your life as a hub. I've been wanting to use your family as a hub. I've been wanting to use Living Way as a hub. I'm so sick and tired of being invited into churches and then released from churches. He said, I don't want to live in the church. I want to live in the believer. Don't you know that your body is the temple? It is supposed to house God. And how do we get God? We praise him. How do we keep God? We keep praising him with a life of gratitude. Stand on your feet. Life of gratitude. Posture versus position. Posture versus position. Too many of us have placed a great significance on the house and not on the presence. Your gratitude, your praise is a weapon, church. I have found that God's greatest weapons, and I've never thought about this until I dove into this series, God's greatest weapons are weapons that can be used anywhere at any time. Praise is one of God's greatest weapons because it is not confined to a church building. Worship, prayer, fasting, some of his greatest weapons, because you can do them on a Monday just as well as a Sunday. Faith, hope, love, his Holy Spirit, his anointing. That's why Psalm 150 would say, praise the Lord in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. He said, praise him here, praise him there. Praise him for his mighty acts. That's what he's done. Praise him for his excellent greatness. That's who he is. Praise him on the sound of trumpets, on the psaltery, on the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him on the loud cymbals.